third epistle of John, not John chapter 3, but the third epistle of John. It's right almost at the end of the Bible, just before the book of Jude and Revelation. You have three little letters the apostle John wrote, and we're going to read from 3 John. I preached to the young people last Sunday morning down at Murlough from this chapter. And I had been preparing that message when another verse or phrase struck me. And I had one of those experiences. I don't have them very often. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher, said that at times texts of Scripture just jumped out of the Bible at him and said, "Preach me, preach me." And I have to say, I don't always have that experience. We have to come to the Lord and ask, "Lord, give me bread for the people." But as I read this chapter in preparing for speaking to the young people, there was another verse and it seemed to just shout out, "Preach me, preach me." So I'm going to endeavour to do that this morning. We're going to read from verse 1 of this third epistle of John the Elder. "Unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey, after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing off the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth prating against us with malicious words. And not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I have many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name." Amen. We'll end our reading at the close of that little epistle and trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Let's have a moment's prayer and ask the Lord to speak to us from the scriptures. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray now that thou wilt settle all our hearts down in thy house and in thy presence. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we would come apart for a little while and rest, and hear thy word, and be refreshed in the scriptures. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that as a result of listening to the ministry of thy word, that our souls will prosper, and that we will go on with God, and Lord, that we will do thy will from the heart, So, Father, fill me now with the Holy Ghost. Settle us all down in thy presence and give us a listening ear and an understanding heart and a will determined and a will prepared to do thy will. We ask in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want to begin this morning by asking each one of us a question. I trust this morning that you will answer in your own heart, honestly and sincerely before the Lord. The question that I put to you is simply this. Is your soul prospering in the things of God? Is your soul prospering in the things of God? Now, don't automatically think of someone else that the question might be applicable to. Don't automatically begin to think of reasons why we're not doing as well in the things of God as we ought to be, and why there are reasons and excuses for that. I simply want you to take the question that arises out of verse 2 and ask yourself that question, am I prospering in the things of God? You'll see the text there in verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. The Apostle John was writing this third little epistle to a man called Gaius. And he was able to say of him, you'll see that it's a reality. You'll see that it's a fact. He says there in verse 2, if we just isolate the last three words, thy soul prospereth. What a blessing that is. For John to be able to identify this believer, this brother in the Lord, and he was able to say his soul was doing well. His soul was thriving in the things of God. And that's the question I'm asking you. Is your soul thriving in the things of God? Now there's a number of things we could point out from the context here. I think we could note, and I'm just making these remarks by way of introduction. We could say and notice from the context that this man's soul prospered, though he was weak in body. He was physically ill. You'll see that in verse 2. Let's read it again. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. And John is saying, your body is ill. I wish you had the physical health. My prayer is that you would be physically as strong as what your soul is for the Lord. And here was a man, and though he was sick physically, yet his soul was prospering and doing well for the Lord. I wonder, would you give me the liberty this morning to turn that around? And I wonder, could I ask you the question, if you physically were as well as you are spiritually, how strong physically would you be? Let me apply that in another way. Let me ask, if your business or your bank balance was doing as well as your soul, how well would your business or your finances be? Do you see what John is saying? He's saying, I wish you had the physical prosperity that you have spiritually. And yet the sad reality today is, men and women, that there are many Christians, many professing believers, and while they are prospering in the things of the world, they're getting on well in life, their home is doing well, finances are thriving, and God bless you if that's the case. But the point we're making is this, that there are those, and they're doing so well in these areas, and yet their soul is not prospering the way their physical lives are. Does that describe you? Oh, here's a man, and his soul is doing so well, and yet physically and bodily he's weak. And John wishes and prays that he'd be as strong physically as he was spiritually. You'll see from the context further that his soul prospered despite problems. And by the term problems, I'm talking about problems in the local church. You see, if you look at verse 5 and 6, you will see that John commends Gaius and others. He says, "Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers." And he goes on to explain how, in verse 6, that they brought them forward on their journey. Let me read verse 6 as well. "Which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well." There were evangelists in the New Testament church. They were traveling from place to place. They were preaching, and Gaius and Demetrius and others here, they helped them and they provided for them in their journey. And they're commended for that by the Apostle John. But in verse 9 and 10, he makes reference to another individual in the church. "I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not." And in verse 10, he goes on to say, "Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words." Now notice the next part of the verse. "And not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church." Do you see what's going on here? John is commending believers, Gaius, Demetrius, and others who have shown Christian charity to these traveling evangelists. And yet there was a prominent individual in the church, Diotrephes, and because he loved the preeminence, he did not receive them. He didn't want them stealing his glory. And so he rejected them, and he forbade other brethren in the church to do it. Now the point I'm making is this, that when John commends Gaius for his soul prospering, his soul was prospering in the midst of problems, difficulties, divisions among the professing people of God. There were those in the church and they were vying for position. There were those in the church and they were trying to put others down. And how terrible and tragic it is, and it should never be in God's house. And yet in the midst of it, John could commend Gaius and say his soul is prospering in the midst. He didn't let other things going on around him. He didn't use them as an excuse as to why he wasn't going to go on with the Lord or serve the Lord. His soul prospered, even in the midst of difficulties. I could point out further from the context that the fact that his soul prospered was evident for all to see. Look at verse 6 again there of 3 John, and it says, "Which," and that is those brethren and strangers who were traveling through and who Gaius helped and ministered to, "which have borne witness of thy charity before the church." His love toward the brethren, his provision for the strangers was evident for all to see. And they came and they witnessed to the oversight in the church that this man or these men had blessed them and been a blessing to them. And they told others. You can't hide a prosperous soul, a soul that's doing well and going on with the Lord. And I wonder, as others look at our lives, do they see us thriving? Do they see us pressing on? Do they see us enjoying the Lord and making progress in the things of God? Or do they see us simply as cold, indifferent, and ritualistic in our Christianity? I wonder what they see. Here was a man and his soul was prospering when his body was ill. He prospered in spite of problems locally, and he prospered in the sense that others could see it and testify of it. But as I thought about that little phrase, "thy soul prospereth," there were a number of thoughts that came to mind out with the context of this portion of Scripture. And it's really those thoughts that I want to emphasize this morning and leave with you. And I'm going to take you to three different places in the Bible, three different references. And I trust you'll follow with me this morning as we quickly notice these references in relation to the prosperous soul. I want to say firstly, by way of my main point this morning, firstly, your soul will prosper under the preaching of God's word. I want you to turn to the little book of Ezra in the Old Testament and the chapter 6. Ezra chapter 6. While you turn it up, I'll wet my lips. Been struggling with the flu this week. My wife was expecting a different sort of present this week, but she got the flu. And I had to go out. I was telling some of the people this morning I had to go out yesterday and buy her a better present. So I had to buy her a bunch of flowers. It's the worst weekend to buy flowers for the prices through the roof. But I trust you'll bear with me this morning. And if I have to sup a little bit water more often, you'll bear with me. Ezra chapter 6, and I want you to notice verse 14. And I want you to notice the idea of prospering here. We're talking about spiritually prospering. And the elders of the Jews builded, that is, they built the temple, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. And they builded and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. You will notice that the people prospered. The word is used. They prospered through the prophesying. That is the proclaiming, the ministering, the putting forth of the message of God's word by Haggai and Zechariah the prophets. And let me tell you here what the context of this passage actually was. You will see that their prospering was in relation to their service. They were building the temple of the Lord. After the ministry of Jeremiah, the Babylonians came to the city of Jerusalem for their apostasy and their sin. They destroyed the city. They burned the temple with fire. And the Jews were carried into captivity. For 70 years they remained in that state of captivity. But after 70 years the Lord told them to return and they were to commence rebuilding the temple at Jerusalem. That was their service for the Lord. And they were commanded to build the temple. You'll see it there in the verse. It says they builded and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel. However, as you read the early chapters of Ezra, you discover that while they commenced building and the work went on well, they laid the foundation, they built the altar, yet the enemy attacked them. And the enemy threatened them. And if you just turn back a chapter or two there to chapter 4 and verse 23 and 4, you'll see at the end of verse 23 it says that they need them to cease by force and power, then cease the work of the house of God which is at Jerusalem. They were doing well in the service of God. But the enemy came and made threats. The enemy came and opposed them. And by force and by power, they caused the Jews to cease building the house of the Lord. And their service for the Lord stopped for a period of time. For the Lord to get his people back to work and to prosper them in the cause of the Lord, he raised up two prophets, Haggai and Zechariah, and he sent them with a message. Haggai was God's messenger with God's message for Israel at that time. And as they began to preach, and as they began to prophesy or minister the word of God, the hearts of God's people were stirred. And once again they began to serve the Lord and give themselves to the cause of the Lord. You see, men and women, it's the preaching of the word that strengthens the believer. It's the preaching of the word that is a means of helping sanctify the believer. It's the preaching of the word that stirs the soul of the believer to serve the Lord. The preaching of the cross is unto them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. It is the chief means of grace for the child of God. And under the ministry of these two prophets, you will see that they prospered, verse 14 of Ezra 6. And therefore they gave themselves again to the work and service of the Lord. There is a dangerous view that thinks that once the Christian is saved, or once a man or woman is saved, that the Christian life is all about service. And we should serve the Lord. We're called, not as it were, to build a literal temple, but the spiritual temple, seeing men and women saved and as lively stones built into that spiritual temple, the house of God, the body of Christ. But it's the preaching of the word that strengthens, that teaches, that instructs the people of God to enable us to be strong in our service for the Lord. And if we would grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if we would be strong in the service of the Lord, then we will long, we will want to be under the ministry of God's word. The prosperous soul is one that will have an interest in and be found under the faithful ministry of God's word as often and as regularly as they can. I wonder, is there someone here this morning and you've been living like the people in Ezra's day? Once your hand was active in the work and service of the Lord, once you gave yourself to the service of the King and were found busy about the things of God, but you've begun to neglect the ministry of God's word, your heart has grown cold, and now, just like the people in Ezra's day, you've become inactive in the service of the Lord. I put it to you this morning, you give yourself to the ministry of God's word. Listen to the message of the Lord. Be found under the ministry of God's word, and it will do your soul good, and it will stir you to be active in the service of the Lord. If you're going to prosper, then you'll prosper under the preaching of God's word. Be under it as regularly and as often as you can. But then I want to say, secondly, this morning, your soul will not only prosper under the ministry of God's word or the preaching of God's word, but your soul will prosper by obedience to God. Now there are many portions of scripture I could turn you to, but I'll turn you to probably the most well-known one if you turn to Joshua chapter 1. And again, we're brought to consider the word prosper or prosperous. The Lord is using this word in a spiritual context in the sense that Joshua would prosper in the work of God. You'll see it there in verse 7 and 8. The Lord is confirming Joshua's call. Moses, the servant of the Lord, is dead, and Joshua now will lead the people into the land of Canaan and conquer the land and divide it for them. And the Lord confirming Joshua's call, he says in verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein, and then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now there's a number of things we need to see here. You'll see, first of all, that the Lord is saying to Joshua that if he's going to succeed, if he's going to be prosperous, then he needs to obey the Lord. You see at the end of verse 8, he says, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. And it's as a result of what? Observing to do all that is written therein. And the Lord is drawing his attention to the fact that if he's going to prosper in the service of the Lord, then he's going to obey the Lord. And we can narrow it down a little further. And we can say that if he's going to prosper in the service of the Lord, he's going to obey the Lord. And he's going to obey the Lord as the Lord is revealed in the scriptures. You see that verse 8? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Do you see there's a progression here? Joshua, you have to be strong. Joshua, Moses has left you commands. Joshua, Moses has left you 5 books that are inspired of me. Joshua, I want you to meditate upon the Word of God. I want you to meditate day and night. For in meditating you'll understand the Scriptures. In understanding the Scriptures you'll know what you have to do and how you must obey me. And in understanding and knowing, then you'll obey me and then you'll have good success. I wonder, do we follow the example that was left or given to Joshua to be successful in the work of God and in our lives for God? Oh, we can talk about obedience for a moment. The prosperous soul is an obedient soul. Do you remember those words that Samuel spoke to Saul? To obey is better than sacrifice, 1 Samuel 15. And to hearken and the fat of rams. Saul was busy sacrificing the sheep and the lambs that he had taken on the spoils of war. And he thought by going through the ritual of religion that he would please the Lord. But Samuel the prophet reminds him, God told you to slay them all. and obedience to the Lord. Obedience to the Lord is even more important than simply going through the ritual or routine of religion. To obey is better than sacrifice. Are our lives lived out in obedience to the revealed will of God? The Lord, He's reminding Joshua, I think I have to impress it upon our hearts this morning. What will help us, what will enable us as God's people to live obedient lives? Do we meditate on the Scriptures? I like that little phrase in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. You're to talk about it. Do we talk about the Scriptures? Our husbands, our wives, our friends, our believing friends. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. As you go about your daily business. Do you think about the Scriptures that you've read in the morning or the previous evening? I know we have to give ourselves to our employment. I know at times our mind has to be sharp for the things in life that are before us. But are there times during the day when we're simply going about our business and we're thinking about the Scriptures? And we're meditating about the meaning of the Scriptures and how they relate to us and how they relate to our lives. As we're driving the car on a journey, as we're taking a walk, ladies, as you're preparing the meals, as you're doing the housework, gentlemen, if you get a moment when you don't have to be overly concentrating on the events of the day, are our minds given to meditate on the things of God? For as we think about those things, the Lord will impress them upon our hearts. And then as we meditate upon them, we can come to the point where, like Joshua, we'll be able to say, yes, we'll obey the Lord. And he says, in obeying the Lord, in living out the book in our lives, you'll have good success. And I'll prosper you in the battle that is before you. And I'll prosper you in the things of God. If your soul is going to prosper, then your soul will be an obedient soul. If your soul is going to prosper, your soul will prosper under the preaching and the ministry, the faithful ministry of God's Word. Let me turn you to one final portion of Scripture this morning. It's 2 Chronicles 14 and verse 7. And let me say, if your soul is going to prosper, you will prosper by resisting the enemy. 1 Chronicles chapter 14 and the verse 7. We have here an incident. In fact, I think that should be 2 Chronicles 14 and 7. I have it right in my notes. I just wasn't reading them right. 2 Chronicles. Let's get that right. 2 Chronicles 14 and verse 7. And you'll notice the word prospered right at the end of the verse. Let's read the verse together. Therefore he, that is King Asa, said unto Judah, let us build thee cities and make about them walls and towers. Let me just draw your attention to the end of verse 13. The Lord had given him rest. He's in a time of peace. The enemy isn't assaulting him or assailing him as he once did. There's a time of rest and a time of peace. And in that time of rest, Asa said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers and gates and bars while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. King Asa, in a time of peace, he built defences against the enemy. He defended the cities by building the walls, by building the lookout posts, by building towers and gates with bars, so that when the enemy did come, the cities were well defended against him. And if you read on, you only have to read down a few verses, verse 9. There came out against him Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of 1,300 chariots, and came on to Marisah, and he came against Asa and the cities of Judah. And you read on down the chapter how Asa cried unto the Lord, and the Lord gave him the victory. And he gave him the victory over the enemy. I believe one reason was because Asa had well prepared. He built the defences against the enemy. And they were prepared for war and prepared for battle. Brethren and sisters in the Lord, I remind you in closing this morning that our battle is not physical, but it is spiritual. The devil will seek to fire his fiery darts at your soul. He will seek to destroy your soul. He will seek to bring you down again into sin and destroy your testimony. The question is, how can you prosper? How can you prosper against the enemy? Build those defences in your life. Build the walls and the bars and the gates against the wicked one. Have the time every day when you come to the Word. Because Jesus overcame the devil. He resisted the devil by the Word of God. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the Word of their testimony, or the Word of God. Have those times of prayer. Make sure they're regular. Make sure there are times that you resort to as often as you can. But at some point every day. For our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We'll overcome the enemy by building those spiritual defences in our lives. And then when the enemy comes, we'll not become his prey, but rather we'll conquer. The Lord will give us the victory. And we will prosper even in light of the enemy's attacks. I close this morning by asking you the question again. Is your soul prospering in the things of God? Will you answer it honestly? And if not, will you consider the scriptures that we have put to you. And will you seek the Lord? And will you endeavor under God to prosper again for the Lord by being found under the faithful ministry of his word, by seeking to obey his voice, and by seeking to have those defenses in your lives against the wicked one, so that you'll prosper for the Lord and in the Lord's service.